We're going to read four verses, reading from the King James Bible. If you see someone who does not have a Bible, please share with them your Bible. There should be a pew Bible in front of you, and please, these pew Bibles are not for you to take home. They're for people who do not have a Bible with them so they can read it. When you're done with it, put it back in the pew. Do not steal Bibles from the pews. Luke 22. If you need a Bible, let me know. I'll get your Bible. But don't steal the pew Bibles in the pew in front of you. Luke 22, verse number 31, and to verse number 34. Luke 22, starting in verse number 31, and we're going to read to the end of verse number 34. Ready? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I'm going to talk this morning about Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. Dear God, thank you again for loving us and for being such a wonderful God. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace, your long-suffering. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to live long enough just to breathe your fresh air. Lord, it's great to see springtime coming. I know it's not spring on the calendar, but Lord, it was a beautiful day yesterday and today, and I love the snow, but Lord, thank God for the springtime. And Lord, just thank you, Lord, for church, the folks that are here, and I pray that you bless those that are here, and I pray, Lord, those who are sick, or those who are at work, or those who are traveling, I pray you watch over them and bless them and be good to them. And now, dear Holy Spirit of God, please speak to our hearts concerning this matter and how often we forget that you are praying for us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Peter was a very remarkable man, a very different man from all the other apostles, the disciples of the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, Peter is one of the most criticized people in pulpits today about all the things that he did wrong. Like, you know, we know that he betrayed Jesus here. And even Paul had to speak to him face to face in front of the in front of everybody else about some things that Peter was led astray about. But I don't know about you. I've never walked on water. The closest I've ever come to walking on water is when I've been on ice walking, amen? That's frozen water, but I've never walked on water. Peter's walked on water with Jesus, amen? So before you hear somebody criticizing or being critical of Peter, and before you begin to criticize Peter, think about, have you ever walked on water the way Peter walked on water when Jesus told him to come on the water? And so going through this sermon this morning, just think back that we're no better than Peter. We're far worse than Peter. But Jesus knew Peter, and Jesus knew that Peter would betray him. And he's telling Peter, he says, Peter, I've prayed for you. Can you imagine Jesus speaking to us and telling us individually, you know, I've prayed for you. Can you imagine Jesus calling you by name? And he says twice, Simon, Simon. Look at verse number 31. The Lord says, Simon, Simon. It's almost, remember, it's akin to when the Lord told Martha, 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 you're coming about too much. I mean, it's one thing for Jesus to call you by your name, but it's something else for Jesus to call you twice by your first name, Simon, Simon. Like, you better listen up to what I got to say. Behold, Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. A lot of us don't realize that the problems, heartaches, and difficulties we have in life are not made by God. They're Satan devised most of them. God allows us to go through difficulties and heartaches and burdens. But most of our problems is Satan wants to destroy us. Do you understand? Satan does not want people to get saved. Do you understand that? If you understand that the enemy does not want people to get saved, you'll be busy about trying to get people saved. If you'll realize that Satan's going to try to stop you every single way he can, destroy you and your life so that other people don't get saved, then you'll rearrange your thinking to fix your life as much as possible so that other people will get saved. Satan wanted to hinder and stop Peter because he knew that thousands are going to get saved because of Peter. Now, I don't know about you, but I personally believe that every single person has betrayed Jesus Christ at one time or another. Saved or lost. Maybe you have, and maybe you're good, better than I am, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. I think about my life sometimes in the past. I remember the first year or two after I got saved, I said to myself, if I was doing this, I'm not really saved if I would be doing this. And the devil will play with your mind. And the devil will play with your mind, making you think that you don't really believe in Jesus Christ, or you're not really saved, or you didn't really believe, trust in Jesus Christ and praying. And the devil's going to try to sift you like wheat. Amen. Now, there's two ways to sift wheat. You can grind it and use a fan, or there's a couple different ways. But I remember I was 11 years old, first time we went to Greece, 1968. We had caught this on a camera, moving camera, no sound back then, you know. But I still remember this woman. By the way, she had a scarf on, long dress, and she was out in the country, out in the mountains, where the whole bunch, and I think it was wheat or something like that, she had a pile of wheat, and she was taking that pitchfork or some kind of utensil with forks on it, maybe flat forks on it, and she would dig into this pile of seed, what I thought was wheat or whatever it was, and she would throw it up in the air after it was crunched. And the wind would take the chaff away. And the seed would fall. And she would be doing that the whole time. She'd just pick it up and let it down. Pick it up and throw it down. Or pick it up with a shovel and turn it over. I can't remember exactly whatever. But I still remember the wind blowing the chaff away. Well, if you ever been to a mill and you ever seen them grind the wheat from the chaff, it all goes into the same place. The wheat, the kernel, the seed separates from the chaff. And that's a very hurtful thing. If it could say anything, it would say ouch when it's being ground in the mill or when it's being turned over so it can be cracked so the chaff can break loose of the seed of the wheat. Well, guess what? It's almost akin to Satan wanting to sift you and I. He wants to destroy you by crushing you. He wants to destroy you by bearing down on you in every way possible that he possibly can. But you got to realize, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. It's not, your problem is not with your neighbor, your wife, your husband, your children, your parents. Your problem is with Satan trying to destroy you and fight you. And too often we take it out on other people that maybe are being used as Satan, but it's not the people. I'm telling you, it's Satan who wants to destroy you and sift you like wheat. But Jesus said, I prayed for you. Can you imagine having Jesus pray for you? I mean, we ought to pray for one another, and we do pray for one another. We have prayer meeting every single Wednesday night, and we pray at home on ourselves. Hopefully we do. And we have a prayer list. We pray one for another as we ought to. You know, it's encouraging when somebody says, I'm praying for you. Preacher, I'm praying for you. It's encouraging when you hear somebody else praying for you. But can you imagine hearing Jesus say, I'm praying for you? God himself, Jesus Christ himself, praying for you. Not just a preacher or a pastor or a deacon or a minister or a church member, but Jesus Christ himself praying for you. Amen. In Luke, take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter number 8, please. The Gospel of Luke chapter number 8. It's the parable of the sower and the seed. In verse number 4, and it came to pass, verse number 4, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. Watch this. A sower went out to sow his seed. It's like a kernel of wheat. kernel of corn, a seed, okay? And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this. Now he's going to explain the parable. The seed is the word of God. If you're born again, you've had the seed of the word of God in you. It was planted in your heart. When you bowed your head and you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the seed of the word of God came in at the point of salvation. For people that have rejected the word of God, the birds of the air, the fowl of the air, which is Satan, look what it says here, the seed of the word of God, verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil. Now, he's explained the parable, the fowls of the air devoured. Anytime you look at the birds in the Bible, you ever look at, ever watch Alfred Hitchcock, The Birds? I love that movie, man. But the birds are a picture in the Bible of evil spirits. Now, you want to coddle them, you know. You want to save them, you know. And you want to worship them instead of the Creator, you know. Like we mentioned this morning in the Bible study about everybody's worshiping animals and trees and birds, you know. It's not a coincidence that people are worshiping the birds of the air, because the prince of the air is in charge of the birds, the evil spirits. So Satan comes along, the devil comes along and snatches, the Bible says here, he says, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So we know the first people that hear the word of God in the wayside, in verse number 5, it was trodden down, the fowls of the air devoured it. We know those people are lost because they may have heard the word of God, but they didn't receive the word of God. Then we get in verse number 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. These people received the word of God, they received it, they got saved. And these, watch this, have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Remember when you got saved? A lot of people get saved. Man, they're so thrilled they got saved. I'm so happy I got saved. Pastor, thank you so much for sharing the gospel with me. Thank you. I can't believe I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven when I die now. But you know what happens? You have no root. In time of temptation, Satan comes with a snare, with his wiles, with his fiery darts. You're not prepared for it. He's sifting you, and you wither away. Satan hath desired to sift you, my friend. Not just Peter, but you also. The good news is Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. Verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth. Now, these aren't people who just are just happy for a while, have joy for a while, and have no root. Now these people get saved, and they go forth and are choked, watch this now, with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. These are people who started coming to church. They got baptized. They started reading their Bible. They started praying. They were thrilled they got saved. But in time of temptation and the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, they get caught up with life. You know, money is more important to you. Working on Sunday double time is more important to you than coming to hearing God's word. Staying home lazy on a Sunday watching a football game or going to a park or a party somewhere instead of God's house is more important to you. The cares of this world now have caught up with you, and you got so busy about so many things now that you bring no fruit to perfection. My friend, Satan had desired to sift you. You. But Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. I know better preachers than me are no longer preaching. I know better preachers than me. They're dead sooner before they should have died. If it can happen to a preacher, it can happen to you, ladies and gentlemen. No one is immune. Every single one of us are sinners saved by the grace of God if you're saved. But the pleasures of life, laying on a beach somewhere instead of being in God's house when it's time to be in God's house, is more important. Making money and getting caught up in your house or your boat or your car or your fancy toys are more important to you. And the cares, you're more concerned, like Martha was concerned about everything else except Jesus when he was in the house. And they bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground. Verse 15. Are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit to with patience? Now, ladies and gentlemen, the last group here still have temptations like everybody else. The last group here still, listen to me good, have cares of the world. The last group here still have the world bombarding them with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. But they've realized, listen to me good, that it is Satan that is trying to destroy them and sift them. So they're no longer used of God to see anybody else get saved or be a blessing to other people. And while Satan is looking to sift you, Jesus has been praying for you this morning. You say, well, I don't understand why these things are happening in my life. What's going on, Pastor? I'm trying to do right. Well, Satan's trying to sift you. He's trying to stop you. He's trying to destroy you. Why is all this happening to me? Well, because Satan's trying to attack. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 1 Peter, chapter number 5. 1 Peter, chapter number 5. These people who teach and preach that there's no such thing as the devil or Satan. If that's true, then there's no such thing as God or Jesus, to be honest with you. Because the same God, the same Bible, the same book that tells us about Jesus talks about our enemy also. And we're just not prepared for that because we live in a la-la land thinking everything's going to be rosy now that I'm saved, I'm a child of God. Someone's done lied to you. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Verse number 8. Be sober. That means wake up. Be sober-minded. That's why Satan wants you to drink your liquor, take your drugs, your dope, your cocaine, snort that stuff, and shoot your veins up. He doesn't want you to be sober-minded and think straight. The devil's trying to destroy you. He wants you to listen to rock and roll music, you know, that rebels against authority. He wants you to listen to country music, drink your liquor, and, go leave. Your ex-girlfriend left you. Your boyfriend left you. You're left with your dog, you know. Woe is me. You're drinking that liquor, and you're ruining your life. I'm just telling you. And you're getting all melancholy and remembering how good it used to be in your past. That's Satan trying to deceive you and fool you. And he's trying to sift you, trying to destroy you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, not your neighbor, friend, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking to eat you up. You're not reading your Bible, you're not coming to church, you're not praying. You know what? You're leaving yourself defenseless. He's just walking around looking who's not protected. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The same things happen to everybody else. You think, oh, it's only me. No, it's not only you. We went through that parable that Jesus mentioned in Luke chapter number 8. You got to put your roots down in the Word of God. You got to read your Bible. You got to spend time in prayer in your prayer closet. A, B, C. Get back to basics. Bible reading,
prayer,
and church. It's not complicated. The devil's going to do everything he can to persuade you through the cares and the pleasures and the burdens of life to get away from the basics so he can sift you like wheat and destroy you. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he hath suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. After that ye have suffered a while. Nobody wants to suffer in America, you know. You can't become mature unless you suffer some. Unless you learn to do without some things. Everybody wants what they shouldn't have. You want to keep up with the Joneses, so you go into debt. Keep up with the Joneses. Oh, look at their house. I'm going to buy a house like that too. Oh, look at their car. I'm going to buy a car like that too. Oh, look at their clothes. I'm going to buy clothes like that too. And so you go deeper and deeper into debt, and the devil's just hoodwinked you. He's just trapped you, man. He's ensnared you. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. He said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's not complicated. Resist him. When the cares come up, when the burdens come up, when the pleasures of life come up, resist the devil. Say, nope, I'm going to church. No, nope, I'm reading my Bible today. Nope, I'm getting in my prayer closet today. Just all you have to do is resist, and the Bible says he'll flee from you. You don't have to use any hocus pocus and cross your heart and make the sign of the cross and do all these crazy, stupid, charismatic Pentecostal things. Just resist them. That's all you got to do. And the Bible says, I believe God. God says he will flee from you. Everybody's so concerned. Oh, Pastor. And I don't mind doing this. I've done this for people, probably for some of you and for other people. I've gone and anointed houses and apartments where people live. They want me to anoint their house, and I'll do that. I've never anointed my house anywhere I've lived. No apartment, no house. You know why? Because I read the Bible in my house, and the devil's far away from Bible reading. I get in the prayer closet, the devil's far away from the prayer closet. That's where the battle's at. You've got your mind in the hellavision with these charismatic Pentecostal liars, you know, about all this kind of stuff. Just resist him, and he'll flee from you. You know what Jesus said? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. Looks to me that we just have a little bit more than two or three people this morning, don't you think? Do you think Jesus is here? Hey, if we're reading the Bible, preaching the Bible, I can assure you this, Satan's not here. I can tell you that. If you resist him, he'll flee. He's going to find some other lukewarm congregation, and he can evil affect the minds of people not to live for God. When you get Bible preaching, you get Bible reading, he'll flee, ladies and gentlemen. Do you realize there's at least two angels in this room for every individual that's here? At least one, I believe two. But can you imagine another 50, 60, 70 angels, 80 angels in the back of the room just lining up, saying, preacher, let them have it. Preach on, preacher. I can't see it. You can't see it, but they're here. They're here. Now, how can Jesus be everywhere? I don't know. He's God. He can be everywhere, anywhere he wants. I believe what God said. Do you believe what God said? God said Satan had desire to sift you individually. Not just Peter, but you too. But Jesus said, I've prayed for you. That means he's already prayed for him. Can you imagine Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying for Peter? Can you imagine Jesus in the Mount of Olives praying for Peter? Can you imagine in the wilderness, Jesus praying for Peter? All this time, Jesus has been praying for Peter. Not just the other disciples or apostles, but Jesus himself is praying for Peter. Because he knows if Satan could get Peter, he can get a lot of other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Pay attention to this. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. If you allow yourself to be comforted by God,
God himself will allow you to be used to comfort other people with the same comfort that God has comforted you. Sure, you got heartaches. Sure, you got burdens. Sure, you got problems. I'm not minimizing any of that. But why walk away from God when it's very clear that Jesus said that Satan is trying to sift you and trying to destroy you? It's going to hurt when loved ones walk away from you. It's going to hurt when people have deceived you and hurt you purposefully. They're going to let you, they're going to betray you. It's going to happen. Welcome to life. I'm sorry. Newsflash. People are going to betray you. But Jesus has prayed for you. Jesus has prayed for you. And he's praying right now for you too. See, because once you get right with God, you ought to read Psalm 51 when you go home. In verse 13 says, well, he says in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Some of you need to get back the joy of your salvation. He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Satan doesn't want you to get right with God, because he knows if you get right with God and you restore the joy of your salvation, then transgressors will be taught God's ways. Then sinners shall be converted unto God. And Satan knows that. Satan can see far into the future better than you and I can. And he knows that if he can destroy you or me or us or this church or anybody, then he can see more people dying going to hell, ladies and gentlemen. Mark 16, please. Take your Bible, turn to Mark 16. The ladies go to the tomb and they found it empty. The Gospel of Mark 16. Just for sake of time, I won't start at verse number 1, but you ought to go home and read this. The tomb is empty. The angels in white. All white clothed angels matter. Mark 16. They say in verse number 6, and he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Everybody with me? Mark 16, verse 7. But go your way, tell his disciples, look what it says, and Peter. And Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall you see him as he said unto you. Jesus sent word by this angel to tell the women who saw the sepulcher empty, go tell his disciples. Don't forget, make sure you tell Peter too. Can you imagine Jesus adding Peter specifically by name? The same one he said, I prayed for you, Peter. So he said, wow. Jesus must think pretty special about me just to add me special to that. God sent the angel to tell the women that came to the sepulcher, tell the disciples the tomb is empty, just like he said. Make sure you tell Peter also. Hey, I'm here to tell you this morning specifically that Jesus prayed for you. You think you're the only case. You think you're the hardest case. You think you're the one that's ruined it the most. No, I'm just telling you, Jesus prayed for you individually this morning. In John 17, verse number 9, Jesus said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Jesus is not praying for the world. I'm just telling you right. Jesus is not praying for the peace of the world. I'm telling you right now. We're supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But nowhere in the Bible says to pray for the peace of the world. Because as long as God is here and Christians are here, there should be no peace. There should be a division, Jesus said. And there will be no peace in your heart until you ask Jesus in. And there will be no peace until Jesus reigns for 1,000 years on this earth. You need Jesus to have peace. In John 17, verse number 15, Jesus said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Jesus praying for his disciples. Jesus praying for his believers. In Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus Christ on the right hand of God is making intercession for you and I right now. Jesus Christ is praying for you and I right now. Because Satan hath desired to sift us like wheat and to destroy us.
In Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Jesus Christ, he ever liveth, he's making intercession for us to the Father on behalf of us. Because he's our advocate, the Bible says in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ is the right hand of God, advocating on our behalf, praying on our behalf, interceding on our behalf, right now. Because he knows Satan wants to deceive you and destroy you and sift you like wheat. Just like Satan tried to do with Job. And maybe not, no fault of your own. He just wanted to attack and destroy Job.
For Christ, Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us.
So right now, while Satan desires to sift us and destroy us, right now, Jesus Christ is praying for you and I. The Bible talks about the wiles of the devil. The definition of wile is a trick or stratagem practiced for ensnaring or deception. A sly, insidious artifice to deceive, to beguile. That's what a wile is, W-I-L-E. And he's very deceiving. Satan is very deceiving. And sin is very deceitful. You say, ah, this little sin, it's all right. Everybody else is doing it. Don't matter. You know, it's okay. So-and-so is doing it. They got away with it. And I'm going to do it too. I know what God says. I know what the preacher said. But I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Satan had desire to sift you like wheat so he can destroy you, destroy your testimony, destroy your life, destroy your impact, steal the blessings that you could have received from God and still can receive from God. The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, we're ignorant if you don't read the Bible. You know what a device is? That which is formed by design or invented, a scheme, artificial contrivance, a stratagem, project. Sometimes in a good sense, more generally in a bad sense, as artifices are usually employed for bad purposes. He's trying to destroy your life through devices, through people. He can snare people. You know what a snare is? An instrument for catching animals, particularly fowls, by the leg. It consists of a cord or string with slip knots in which the leg is entangled. A snare is not a net. I took a shoebox years ago. I was about maybe 7, 8, 9 years old in the back of our house there. And we had family over, whatever, you know. And I took a shoebox with a stick. You know, you've probably seen it, you've probably done it. And I tied a little string to the stick, and I put a piece of bread or some food underneath the shoebox. And I had this string attached. I was sitting about 20, 30 feet away, and as soon as the bird went in, guess what happened? Pulled that thing, that shoebox came. I didn't realize the bird could still fly and take the shoebox off. But I'm just saying, that's what the devil does. He puts some little thing in front of you, dangling some spiritual or some spiritual wicked thing in front of you, and you don't see the snare attached there to catch you. Hey, you ever gone trapping? I've gone trapping. I've had traps. I've set traps. I've caught traps. I've caught animals in traps. You know what you do with a trap? Especially with the raccoons, man. They got good sniffers, you know. What you do is you hide it. You have to clean the traps really good because they can sniff other animals or your hands, human scent. So you got to scrub them real good, and then you got to camouflage them. Are you listening to me? You got to stake it real good in the ground, And that's why there's a lot of three-legged raccoons walking around, because they've chewed their legs off of traps so they can survive. And there's a lot of God's people hobbling around today because they've been caught in a snare that Satan set for them, because Satan wants to destroy them. Amen. And thank God you got out of the snare. That's good. But you're still wounded today, even now. But Jesus prayed for you. Amen. A lot of times, I've not done this, but a lot of times, a lot of people do what they do to catch raccoons. They put a shiny object. For some reason, raccoons are attracted to shiny stuff. So they glue a quarter on the trap. And they put their paw in there, they're caught. Isn't that interesting? It's like God's people, they want something shiny, something new, something different. And Satan knows that. You just stick your paw in there, your life's paw, and you get trapped in there. Satan had desired to sift you and destroy you, but Jesus prayed for you. He's praying for you right now. Here's some things that hinder people or stop people. Number one. I got a list of nine things that'll stop and hinder you. Number one, yourself. You are your biggest enemy. You fight yourself. You're the one that limits God in your life. No one else. They may play on your mind. They may work on you. They may try putting obstacles in front of you. I understand all that. I know that. That's true. But you're the one that will determine if you stop for God or not. Every single person has heartaches and burdens. Every single person is messed up and has regret. If they're honest, they regret decisions that they've made or things that they've done. Yourself is the number one thing that will hinder you and stop you. Number two, Satan, his devices, his snares, his wiles. Number three, your flesh. The flesh is lazy, maybe because of health problems or sickness or disability. Maybe it's just your attitude. Maybe you're weak-minded. Maybe you're diseased. Maybe you're broken-hearted. Maybe you have a wounded spirit. Maybe it's your ego, your pride. You don't want to humble yourself. You refuse to humble yourself. That's yourself also. But it's your flesh that doesn't want to get out of bed. It's your flesh that doesn't want to go to work. It's your flesh that doesn't want to come to church. It's your flesh that will try to stop you. Number four, the things of the world. The world. The money, power, alcohol, drugs, Hollywood, anti-God crowd, the sodomites. Politics, religion, they'll try to stop you from living for God. Number five, false brethren, fake, phony, and fraud pastors and ministers. Number six, lukewarm brethren and sisters, lukewarm pastors and ministers, lukewarm churches. Not just false brethren, but also lukewarm brethren. Seven, life's happenings, untoward events, devastating events. Deaths, circumstances in life will try to get you down. They'll try to depress you, discourage you. Satan is trying to deceive you. He's trying to ensnare you. He's trying to throw the fiery darts at you. You're not prepared. You're not armored with the shield of faith. And he's going to get you. Number eight, the blessings of God. I thought the blessings of God are good. They are good. But God very clearly says the blessings of God can turn into the curse of God. Amen. And too many people have taken the blessings of God and use them as curses. Hey, you know what? God's blessed America with the power that we have. The greatest, I think, still the greatest country in the world. The power that we have, the money, the business that we have. As much as going into socialism right now, at least we have the most free market enterprise in the world, at least still right now, that I know about. But you know what? We have taken the blessing of God and turned it into a curse, because now we worship money instead of God who gave us the money. We take the freedom and liberty that we've been given as a blessing. We turn it into a curse now. We walk, parade down the streets half naked or naked now, because we have the blessings of liberty and freedom. Sure, you have the freedom and liberty to do anything you want. And that blessing will turn into a curse, because you'll do whatever you want to do instead of what God wants you to do. Number nine, lack of prayer, lack of Bible reading, lack of church attendance, lack of hard preaching, lack of love for God and other people, not willing to forgive people, not willing to be merciful to others, not willing to look past other people's sins like Jesus looked past your sin. Yeah, and devil uses all that to sift you like wheat. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, listen to me, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. Let's close with Acts chapter number 2, please. Acts chapter number 2, we'll close with this. Here's a man who betrayed Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus, I won't betray you. You know what Jesus said, didn't you? He says, Simon, Peter, before the cock crowed, you're going to deny me thrice. He said, oh, no, I'll die for you. I'll die with you. Well, he betrayed Jesus. And he wept bitterly, the Bible says. You think, oh, it never happened to me. Oh, yeah. I've seen better people than you fall away. I've seen better preachers than you and I fall away. The devil's slick, ladies and gentlemen. He'll destroy you, destroy your life, destroy your children, destroy your family, destroy this church. You know, it's a miracle that we're still here 30 years later, man. After everything I've thrown out the last 3 or 4 weeks, the fact that anybody shows up is a miracle, man. It really is. I am so flabbergasted, and God's in it, amen? I'm trying to chase people away, and people still keep coming back, amen? Acts chapter number 2, number 14. This is a man that betrayed Jesus Christ. This is a man who fell. This is a man who Satan tried to deceive and to sift like wheat, but Jesus prayed for him. And in verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, those days are coming, by the way, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man that prayed for me. Can you imagine? Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Always before my face. Jesus has always been on the right hand of God. Jesus prayed for you before you were born. Jesus praying for you in the past, and Jesus praying for you now. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Amen. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now this is the same Peter that Satan wanted to sift. This is the same Peter that denied Jesus Christ and betrayed him. Do you know him? You've been with him. You look like you were one of them. Oh no, I don't know the man. I don't know who he is. 3 times he denied Jesus. This is the same Peter that Jesus prayed for. And Jesus prayed for you too. Have you denied Jesus? Have you betrayed Jesus? Well, he's prayed for you also. Look what he says. They asked him, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now watch this. This is the result of the man who denied Jesus Christ. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. This is why Satan wanted to destroy and sift Peter. He knew that other people would get saved. This is why Satan wants to sift you and destroy you. Because he knows down the road, other people are going to get saved. But Jesus has prayed for you. Jesus prayed for me. And I'd rather have the prayers of Jesus Christ than anyone else. Amen. Peter walked on water. And Jesus prayed for Peter. Peter betrayed Jesus and denied him. Peter recovered. Peter preached the gospel, and he saw 3,000 people saved and baptized in one day. And Peter was used of God. Jesus is praying for you and I. You and I have denied Jesus Christ at one time or another. And you and I can recover and be reconciled back to God, and God is waiting and praying for you right now. You and I can preach the gospel to every creature just like Jesus told Peter after he fell in Mark 16, verse number 15. Souls are waiting to hear the gospel from our lips. Don't let Satan destroy you by sifting you like wheat, because Jesus not only has prayed for you, but is praying for you right now. If you're not saved, get saved right now. If you're saved, you've not been baptized in a Baptist church, get baptized right now. Whatever else your need is right now, you do business with God, because God will bless. Let's all stand and pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for church. Thank you for these dear folks. Oh, dear God Almighty, please, dear Holy Spirit of God, please speak to our hearts. If there's anybody in this room that's not saved, may they get saved this morning, because Jesus has prayed for them. And I pray, dear God, for those who are saved, maybe they've not been baptized, Lord, I pray, you're praying for them right now that they would get baptized. And dear God, I pray for the others who have burdens and heartaches and difficulties. They've been cut down, discouraged, disappointed. I pray, dear God, that you'd bless them. I can't imagine how you're praying for us, but thank you for praying for us. Bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying, please. God's people praying. Christians praying.